You are listening to Look Who's Talking. I am Cameron Minter. I am your co-host with the most. I got to put something on my name.
I'm the co-host
with the most.
I like that.
And our host is Jessica Coffey,
hey,
our
y'all.
Head Start director. What's going on, Jessica?
Not much, Cammy.
Are you enjoying this? Are you a snow girl? Are you a snow?
No, not at all.
I remember probably in the past I said I prefer snow,
mm-hmm.
which I still prefer snow over ice any day.
If that's the
But I've had enough yet. Snow. I've had enough snow.
Oh, yeah. So usually I'm like, I want one big snow.
Yeah. And right around Christmas.
Inches. I would rather have it around Christmas.
And then be done.
But I want a big snow to where, like, we can't go outside.
Oh, you still looking for school
yeah.
days?
Yeah. Yeah, those are what I use as personal.
Snow days. Oh, okay.
Personal snow days.
Right, gotcha.
But the whole back and forth, like, I don't like snow anymore. I'm done.
I mean, so far this year, as soon as I get in a good rhythm, boom, snow. Adjust your schedule.
No.
I'm done.
Snow is fun, like on the weekend when you don't have to be out in it.
Say that.
I'd rather not have snow like on a Monday or like how we just had a random Tuesday.
I know.
I don't even know. It messed me up so bad, I don't know what today is.
Look, I went out this morning, you know, because according to the meteorologists who get paid a lot of money, who changed their mind at the last minute.
And we would need to rethink the pay scale.
I know. So I wasn't expecting any snow this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And there's snow. So before I go, I got a shovel. I got to get the. I'm just tired.
Yeah, I'm over the snow.
I'm done.
We are on one accord when it comes to that.
Well, very good. What's going on? What's up with you?
Cam, you always ask me that, and I never know.
You never know what's up with you? Well, no one else will be able to tell me that.
I know.
I can make up some stuff if you like.
The only thing I know is I'm tired of seeing snow.
Man, amen. We
what else been up with
that.
You? That's the real question.
Oh, I'm just trying to get, I'm still, it is almost the end of February, and I still am trying to get into my groove
okay. For
the first of the year.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to get there. I'm almost there. I'm like,
we have 2 weeks before March.
I know. I'm like 90% there, but this snow.
You know what? I just told someone today at work. I said, it seems like these first 2 months of the year have lasted 80 months. Like, I feel like this year has been so long.
It's taking life off of us.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And you know what? We've just had crazy weather. We're talking about the snow, but in less than 72 hours, we had warm weather.
Right.
It rained 40 days and 40 nights in 24 hours. And
right. Then
there were some tornadoes in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Then
flooding.
Flooding and a blizzard.
And now Arctic cold.
Yeah.
Just so that by Sunday, we'll be up in the 50s.
Guess what?
You gotta love it.
As my mama would say, that's pneumonia weather.
I am.
You're going to catch something.
You're going to get something with all this up and down and up and down and up and down. I'm just not with it.
Yeah, I am anticipating spring. And if you hear me say, it's too hot.
Mm-hmm. Smack you.
Just remind me of the winter we went through. Yeah, it's done for me.
I know. I know. We can't be pleased because
we
will be complaining.
That, and you know what? When March comes,
mm-hmm.
no telling what kind of weather we're going to get.
Right. Yeah, right. It may be snowing.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So.
But that's Kentucky weather. And,
yeah.
And I love it when people, like I saw on the news where the UK men's basketball coach,
uh-huh.
when he decided to come to Kentucky, said, y'all don't get snow, right? And the person said, no, we don't ever get snow. He was like, what is going on?
Yeah, no, we definitely get snow.
Well, we usually don't. We definitely get ice. We've always been in, you know, when you look at the map and it's on, this part's going to get ice. We're always in that ice area.
I usually want the weather that will cancel work. Whatever
you know,
that is. But We had that, what, like January 6th.
Uh-huh.
After that first day, I said, oh, no, 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 no.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted it for one day, not right, for a whole week.
Right.
That ice didn't go anywhere.
Because what? It reminds you of what?
COVID.
I know. I can't be in the house anymore. It reminds me of COVID.
We all have COVID PTSD.
We do. We really do. And, you know, it's going to be a thing in a couple of years. But I'm telling you right now, we got PTSD. Wow. Well, because there will be some case or something that, you know, blames COVID PTSD on something stupid, right? I'm just claiming it now.
So hold up. You asked me, you said something about Kentucky weather that made me want to ask you, where would you want to live if it wasn't Kentucky? Thinking of weather.
It's rough.
Yeah, because
anywhere you go,
if you don't live here, you're going to live somewhere that gets something else.
It gets something else.
Yeah.
And I, to be honest with you, I love the Caribbean. I love the sand and the water. But
hurricanes.
I'd rather put some snow.
I'd rather. That's a good game.
There's a movie that's in my queue to watch. But my wife has issues watching drowning movies because she can't swim and she takes it personal. So, yeah, just the idea of a tsunami. Yeah, I think there's this other movie we watched where a tsunami and it was crazy. But, yeah, I'd much rather push snow. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather hurricanes.
You rather have?
Yeah.
Girl, bye.
Mm-mm. No.
No.
But think about it.
But you know you can't swim, although you were a swim instructor.
I can swim to save my life.
You were a lifeguard. You was a lifeguard.
No, I was not. Okay. I was a swim instructor.
Oh, my God. How can... Mm.
I could not swim.
I said I was never going to bring that up again.
I just said I couldn't save other people.
Oh, okay.
And I don't like my face in the water.
Okay, moving right along. After all of that, I think it's time for a coffee break.
Okay, guys, so for today's coffee break, I would like to say, be the reason someone feels welcomed, seen, heard, valued, loved, and supported.
That's a lot.
It is.
That's a lot.
It is.
You need to put oars in between there.
No, and think about it this way. And I was thinking about this. You know, sometimes I have bad days.
Oh, come on with it.
And how I walk into the office could affect the people
around
me.
It does.
You know? And so it's so important to try not to bring, you know, your frustrations or... into the office. Well, it might be because of the office, but still.
Exactly.
You know, we have to learn how to be able to control our emotions, but also try to bring light into someone else's just being.
I like that. It's hard for me because sometimes, you know, you can't get out of your own way sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes you are the problem. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes I just need a minute.
Yeah.
Let me get it out of my system. Let me be mad about it. Let me punch something over here in the corner and come over here and act like everything's good. Just let me do.
But you know what? Have you ever been in a place and someone walked in with such a positive attitude that it kind of changed you?
Yes.
You posted something the other day about someone who received their wings, and I messaged you and I said, he's a Tate's Creek legend.
Yes, he is.
And I remember him always coming into the grocery store, like, smiling.
Mm-hmm. Always.
Smiling, always.
Yeah.
And almost getting hit by cars, but he's smiling the whole time.
Always.
That just kind of made me think about that. Like, no matter how you saw him, he came in smiling. And that, like, just sometimes affects you and say, absolutely, hey, you know what? It could be worse, but... let me get out of my feelings.
If you go to like a nursing home and visit somebody and you're trying to encourage them and you leave encouraged, that's what that's about.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Even though in their circumstances, and this guy had a disability.
Yeah.
But he was always smiling. Mm-hmm. So you had no choice but to, hey, take that on.
Right, exactly.
And since we're talking about smiling, what's going on today's show?
So, Kim, on today's show, so you know I absolutely love the dentist, right?
Okay. Is this somebody else who gets dentist. All your money? Is this somebody else?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Do you know how much my mouth is worth right now?
A lot.
But I absolutely love going to the dentist, and I would go every single day if I could. So on today's show, we have Dr. Pamela Stein.
What?
Who we're going to talk about the importance of oral health today. Oral health in our children. But, you know, I have some personal questions that I've already asked her how my teeth look. See, and she said they look
off
good.
Off the clock. Hey, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me. Appreciate
yes,
it.
Yes, yes. She has some problems. I'm sure you've already seen some of them. And now dentist is going to be one of them. So welcome. And, you know, just lock in for these questions.
Yeah. So, Dr. Stein, of course, now you know that I love the dentist. And tell the viewers, I did ask you how my teeth looked when you came
Forced
in.
Forced her to lie.
Yes, she did. And she has very nice teeth.
So let's talk about oral health and specifically with children. One question that pops in my head is, you know, I hear a lot of parents say, oh, well, does my child really need to go to the dentist at this age because their baby teeth are going to fall out? Talk a little bit about that.
Yes. Well, there's a couple of things about baby teeth and taking their child to the dentist early. The recommendation now is that every child should be in by age one, which when I was in dental school in the 80s, it was age three. Mm-hmm. So they've moved it back now to age one. And one of the reasons is we really want to prevent early childhood caries. They're devastating. Mm-hmm. So if a child is susceptible to getting cavities, and that can be for a number of reasons, they can actually start to develop those cavities around age one.
Oh, wow.
Or two. And by the age three, they sometimes have to go to the hospital and have those fixed.
Gotcha. Wow.
So it can be a very serious problem with a swelling, infection, abscess. Very uncomfortable for the child and really affects their overall health, not just the health of their mouth. So for that reason, it's important to go just to make sure that the child is on the right track. And also to understand whether the child might need some supplemental fluoride. Some children don't have fluoridated water. They're on well water. Or maybe they drink bottled water. And maybe that's okay in some situations. It's a very case-by-case decision.
Yes.
But for children that are at greater risk, the dentist can make the decision about whether or not they need that extra protection.
Now, see, that you just brought up something. I'm thinking cavities is because you ate some candy or you ate something wrong, and now you got cavities. But you said like at one and two, and pretty much at one and two, you're drinking milk and eating baby food. But is the cavity connected to food, or you had just mentioned about not having enough fluoride in the system?
Right. So I think the cavities are definitely related to food and sugars in food. We don't think about milk so much as we think about milk as being good for our bones and teeth. And they do have, you know, there is a lot of calcium in milk, but there's also natural sugars. So the issue is when a child has a baby bottle or a sippy cup and they're sipping on that throughout the day. Juice obviously has some natural sugars in it. That continual bathing of the teeth in those natural sugars can cause cavities. One of the most detrimental things you can do to the teeth is to put the child to bed with a bottle or let them go to sleep, because then the milk or the juice, unless it's water, but really you don't want to do that for choking reasons anyway, that can pool around their teeth and really cause a lot of decay. The other way a young child can get cavities is by getting it from their caregiver. So, for example, if I'm a mom or grandma, I have four grandchildren, and I'm tasting the food, making sure it's not too hot before I put the baby food in the baby's mouth, and I have some cavities in my mouth. That bacteria gets shared with the baby.
Wow, I did not
know that.
It's true. Yeah, so it's really important that the people who are caring for the child don't share their saliva. And make sure they have really good oral health, because kissing the baby could be a problem.
Oh, wow.
We are learning so much.
We are learning some good stuff today.
But we are about to take a break. We will be back. You are listening to Look Who's Talking.
This past year has highlighted the strength of Community Action Council. Every day, our staff works together to help families recover from this crisis. We're educating children at home and in person, helping parents who lost their jobs, and helping households avoid eviction. Our work at Community Action Council has never been more important than it is right now. So why not join us? We have employment opportunities requiring a range of skills from entry level to advanced. Apply online at commaction.com.
Community Action Council's Head Start programs are now enrolling for the 24-25 school year in 15 counties, including Lexington. Head Start offers high-quality early childhood education for qualifying families with children between the ages of 6 weeks and 5 years old. Spaces are limited and filling up quickly, so to help ensure your child receives the Head Start advantage this year, start your application today by calling 859-233-4600 or go online at comaction.org. That's commaction.org.
Who's Talking? And we're here with Dr. Kelly Stein, who is a dentist. And we were just having great conversation about baby teeth. Are there some other things that we need to know about those baby teeth? The importance of baby teeth?
Yes, I think obviously the baby teeth are important for chewing and eating and talking. But they're very important for preserving the space for the permanent teeth. So there's 20 baby teeth, and for each of those baby teeth, there's going to be a permanent tooth that comes in under it to replace it. So usually children start losing their baby teeth when they're about 6 years old, and whenever their tooth gets loose and it comes out, and then the permanent tooth erupts right under it. If the child has an issue with their baby teeth, let's say they have a lot of cavities, some infections, and they have to have those baby teeth removed for any reason, that space that was supposed to be saved for the permanent tooth to come in and replace the baby tooth is compromised. So the teeth on either side, it could cause a crowding issue, basically. Yeah. So that they're important for a number of reasons, functional reasons, and also reasons of space saving for the permanent teeth.
So are you saying, because everyone knows some kid who's had a tooth knocked out when they're before their teeth naturally falls out. So you're saying that could cause harm when the other teeth...
The permanent tooth erupts. It depends on when the tooth is knocked out. If the child is, you know, going to get their permanent replacement in the next 6 to 9 months, it's probably not going to be too much of an issue.
Gotcha.
But if it's several years before that tooth is supposed to come in, usually a space maintainer can be put in to preserve the space. But that's additional expense and additional trauma for the child. So it's just best to have healthy baby teeth.
What about, I sometimes see kids with silver caps. What does that mean?
So a silver cap is usually placed when the cavity is so big that a regular filling won't be able to stay in the tooth.
Okay.
It's almost like a cap that an adult would get.
Gotcha.
So once your cavity gets so big, you need mm-hmm. to support the tooth.
Mm-hmm.
And the baby teeth, obviously, I mean, they're not very big. They're right. pretty tiny little right. teeth. So it doesn't take too big of a cavity to cause the need for a crown or cap.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I hope I'm going to go somewhere else. Children, I don't see this as much anymore of mm-hmm. children sucking their thumbs, because it was very prevalent when I was growing up.
Oh,
it
was my sister was awful.
Big old thing. And the forming of their teeth.
The kind of like.
Yeah, where there's an indention, or you can tell. Mm-hmm. Is that, okay, so I would think that's something that formed as a baby. When those baby teeth are out, why are the other teeth coming in unless they continue to suck their thumb, right? Why are they coming in disformed?
The permanent teeth?
Yes.
Let me back up for just a minute.
Okay.
So when a child sucks their thumb, the roof of their mouth, their palate, is still forming. Mm. So the palate is actually in two different bones, and there's a midline suture between it, or space between it. And as the child grows, that closes, kind of like the soft spots in the head. Mm-hmm. As you grow, as the baby grows, the soft spots close. So if you're sucking on a thumb, it actually doesn't just change the way your teeth look, it's actually changing the bone.
Mm. Oh, wow.
The way the bone is forming.
Wow.
So it's pushing the jaw, the upper jaw, out a little bit,
right,
and making it more kind of, you know what it looks like. It's kind of an overjet of the upper teeth to make room for the lower teeth. So then when the permanent teeth come in, they're coming in on that ridge that is now
molded into the
tongue.
That's
the shape of the tongue.
So I've heard that pacifiers can do the same type of damage. Is that true?
Well, it depends upon the pacifier. There's some orthodontic pacifiers that are better than others. Pacifiers in general are better than sucking the thumb.
Mm-hmm.
There are appliances, thumb sucking appliances, that pediatric dentists can put in the mouth to help a child stop sucking their thumb.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
When I was coming up, there was some juice or something you put on it that didn't taste well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So, yeah, I don't see that. Oh, or the fingers. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen it in a while, so maybe it's not a thing anymore.
What? You haven't seen people or kids
thumb suckers? Thumb yeah.
Oh.
It's still a thing. Okay.
Definitely. What kids have you been around, Cam? Because it's still a thing.
I mean, I guess I'm not.
And you know what? A lot of children that we see in our program do it like as a soothing mechanism.
Yeah,
helping them to sleep or calm down.
Mm-hmm. Especially when, this is when I see it the most, when a child is upset. They first come in and they don't want to leave their parent, and they leave their parent.
Mm-hmm.
They're crying and they'll put their fingers in their mouth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know what, Dr. Stein talked about that tooth decay, and it's almost like your tooth just bathing in whatever.
Right.
So one thing we do here at Head Start is we brush our kiddos' teeth. So after a bottle, after they eat lunch, or sometime during the day, we will have our kiddos brush their teeth. And our babies, we'll do that for our babies as well. So what I want to ask is, whether it's a child or an adult, how often are you supposed to brush your teeth?
Well, in a perfect world, we would brush our teeth every time we ate.
Okay.
Or had a drink that besides water.
Jeez.
But every twice a day is, kind of considered the standard. You want the most important time to brush your teeth is before you go to bed. That shouldn't be the only time we brush our teeth
exactly.
all day, but that is the most important time. When we sleep, when you wake up, your mouth is usually pretty dry.
Mm-hmm.
And we just create an environment when we're sleeping that's very conducive to forming cavities.
Mm.
And so if you have any kind of sugars plaque left on your teeth, mm-hmm. it's really going to give them a good opportunity to do their thing and create a cavity.
Yeah.
So that's a really important time. But anytime, I'm so glad to hear that you're performing the tooth brushing for the children, because any time that you can get the plaque and the sugars off the teeth is a good time.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you brush the teeth for the kids? How does a parent brush a kid's teeth? Because let me tell you, I got Nico.
Have an example for
Nico. Nico, he wants to suck on the toothbrush and the toothpaste, and I can barely get them teeth, and I'm trying to struggle. And so, how do you, because he will not go like this, so I, you know, he's not smiling, so I can get the front teeth. Uh-huh. I got to kind of get it from underneath.
And tell her how old he is.
He is 18 months. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's 18 months.
Yeah. You know, I don't think that's that unusual. I experienced that with my own kids and my grandkids as well. It can be really challenging. Mm-hmm. You know, they are, on one hand, they like to put things in their mouth, but they want it to be on their terms.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, I think it's important to do just a really small amount of toothpaste, like the rice size amount, just a little smear, until they're about three, and then you can do a little bit bigger, like a small pea. So that's one thing. Just getting a little bit of that fluoride in their mouth is going to be important. And try not to make it a huge battle, letting them do some of it themselves. So giving them some agency and some control usually helps a little bit, like we'll take turns. What has helped me with my children, also with my young patients, because I was a Head Start dentist for years. I saw the little ones
come back
three, four, and did, you know, did fillings and things like that. But I would ask the children when I was cleaning their teeth or brushing my children's teeth, make a mean face for me. Make as mean as you can make. And I would show them, and they're just baring your teeth. And we're going to clean your mean teeth real good now. And now you help me. All right, now let's get back. So just kind of coming up with some games or things. Children are, you know, what works with one child works with one child. It doesn't work with them all.
Yeah.
You know your child better than anybody.
Right,
you know what might work. Playing a song for them while they're doing it, or telling them jokes or making funny faces, distracting them is usually good with something. So those are pretty much my tips.
Okay.
I mean, we want to get, if we can, especially at that age, it's going to be hard. But the outsides of the teeth, like the cheek side and the lip side.
Now he'll let that because those other teeth are trying to get in and it feels good. But, yeah, those top ones, I got to get it on the top and just brush it down.
And it's really hard to get the tongue side.
Yeah.
It makes them feel like you're gagging them with the toothbrush. Another really
That's
important
hard for me
thing,
and I'm an adult.
Well, and me too. It's hard for everybody. Make sure you have the right toothbrush. So you want it to have, especially with a little one like that, a really small head, like for a baby. And it needs to be as soft as possible because you don't want those bristles to be abrading the tissue.
I feel like I have at least 50 more questions.
Right, because every time she says something else pops up.
Yeah, I want to ask, okay, so Dr. Stein is seeing my Coca-Cola right here, and I feel so judged. No, I don't. But, you know, sometimes we know the effects that, you know, regular soda, Kool-Aid, whatever, that has real sugar, the effects on your teeth. But what about something that is diet or zero?
Oh, you're just trying to, she's trying to throw off on me.
I'm just, people want to know, Cam.
Okay, all right.
They don't know what you drink.
Right, okay.
Well, you know, I think it depends upon the drink. But in general, if we're talking about soda, even if there's not sugar in soda, there's also acid.
Yeah, okay.
Acid. So that's a concern as well. And we don't really know completely yet. Research tells us some things about the artificial sweeteners. So that's a bit of a concern too.
Okay. So but for children and for adults, when should you get fluoride treatments?
Well, what we teach in the dental school, and I think what is accepted, is it depends upon the risk of the child. So if the child is not able to have good oral hygiene, and for whatever reason, the child's teeth aren't brushed very well, and they don't have access to a lot of healthy foods, or maybe they're eating sugary snacks, or they don't really, you know, children can be very difficult when it comes to what they eat. So no judgment. Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, sometimes when a child is not eating the way they should or drinking what they should, then the need for fluoride really increases.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cam, well, did you ever eat the little things in school that turned your teeth colors and it showed how much tartar or plaque you had?
Disclosing solution.
I think I might have done that.
Yes. Do you not remember that?
I will tell you this. I was 51 before I had my first cavity.
What?
Say that.
Goodness, wow.
Say that. Yeah. I was a teenager.
18. Wow.
It went downhill from there.
I know, right? Dr. Stein, we are so glad that you've been on
the
show.
Thank you for coming.
We need to get you back to talk more, because every time you said something, it just pop, something else came up.
I think I learned more than
I know that whole.
I thought I knew a lot about you.
That whole contagious cavity. Quit kissing my baby. Go on. Yeah. Get away.
Bird feeding them.
I know, right? All right, guys, you have been listening to Look Who's Talking. Share the show. Tell your friends. Do what you do. We'll see you on the next show.